life.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of WA This Week, coming to you live. So look, at the end, I'm just going to talk about a couple of topics, and at the end you can ask questions using the comment section, and I'm really happy to answer those questions. Look, you know, what a fascinating week in politics. On Monday, the Four Corners program made public the information about the issues of Perth Mint. Now, my colleague Love has been following this for some time and asking questions in Parliament. As usual, as I pointed out to you before, least transparent government in the history of Western Australia. You know, the government that just refuses to answer questions on anything, just comes back with glib insults whenever we ask questions in Parliament. But of course, what's been revealed is just the most, well, what appears to be the most appalling behavior for a government agency. First up, and because this is the most serious aspect of the whole affair, it appears that Goldcorp, through their action, have been facilitating the transfer of money, illegal money, around the globe through gold purchases. And I'll just explain that to you. What Goldcorp did was developed, go back a step, sorry. You can go into Goldcorp in Perth. You can buy gold, but you don't have to physically take the gold. They'll keep the gold on your behalf. What they did was they developed an app for your mobile phone, so just a simple app for your mobile phone, where you could go in and purchase that gold. The gold would be kept by the Mint, and you would have an electronic token, a tradable electronic token for that gold. And you could trade that just on your mobile phone anywhere around the world, I think in something like 126 countries. But it could, you know, that's not a problem in itself if there are proper checks and balances on the people purchasing the gold and you're tracking that money. Secondly, people are buying large amounts of gold, spending a lot of money, that you're reporting those dealings to AUSTRAC so that you don't have criminals laundering money. The big problem for particularly drug traffickers or drug dealers anywhere around the world is that they can't operate in the electronic legitimate world for the actual drug sales. So what they'll do is they have cash sales. So these drug dealers end up with massive amounts of cash, and you would have seen that arrest announced this week where the police you know, raided a drug dealer and, you know, had millions and millions of dollars in the house, in $100 bills and whatever. Now, they can't, you know, easily transfer that money. They can't easily take it off the airplane. They need to convert it into electronic money, if you like, get it into a legitimate bank account, and then transfer that money electronically. Well, what you could do is anyone can walk in off the street, buy $100,000 worth of gold. There were minimal, it would appear, minimal requirements in terms of identification, something like showing driver's license. No record, apparently, we're told, kept of those identifying details. And then the person who's bought that gold has then got a trade of a type, and they can trade that anywhere around the world. And of course, the person that gets that tradable token can just actually then cash that in and get the Mint to transfer that money into their bank account wherever around the world. Imagine that. I mean, you know, all the trouble that drug dealers have to go to try and transfer money. And here we have, it would appear, the Perth Mint providing a process that facilitated this with ease. Now, on top of that, what was also revealed was that the Mint was adding, and I think this is perhaps a lesser issue, but nevertheless goes to the nature of a government. This is a government organisation, a government trading enterprise, adding small amounts of impurity to the gold to dilute it a bit, to make that bit extra profit on gold sales, from what we've been told, into China. Now, you know, this is obviously a, you know, clearly appears to be a massive failure. I mean, you know, there is a very high probability that the Mint will be subject to massive fines because of their lack of reporting of transactions and their failure to properly oversight, you know, the sale of gold and transfer of tokens, and that could have been used by criminal gangs to transfer millions of dollars around the world. Now, the gold, they've got billions of dollars stored in the Mint. You know, so we're not talking about a few bucks. This, we're talking about billions of dollars of gold sales that the Mint makes. So, you know, this is big stuff. You've got sales, but who was in charge? The Premier. The Premier, for most of the time this was occurring, was the minister in charge. Now, you know, the media and others approached the opposition, obviously, have been asking questions for some time. But the media have become interested in this. Asked the Premier questions. What do we get? I know nothing. The Colonel Schultz response. I know nothing. You know, nothing to see here. Oh, I didn't know. I was misled. It's other ministers' responsibility. They didn't tell me. You know, he's in charge. There's an old saying in management, the fish rots from the head. Well, it sounds like there's a pretty big stink coming from the Mint in relation to this lax procedure that they had and making sure that they weren't allowing criminals to transfer money around the world. And the Premier says, I know nothing, I see nothing, I'm not responsible. You know what? The buck does stop at the top. And in this case, you might say if another minister was actually responsible, the Premier wasn't informed, well, maybe he's got an excuse. Not in this case. This is primarily the Premier who was responsible, the responsible minister at the time for most of this credit. So, you know, this is a board. The Premier needs to come clean. He needs to inform the people of Western Australia. But there's a very high probability. I've spoken to someone who's knowledgeable in this area. They believe that the state could be facing, or the Mint, hence the state, because I'll just explain, the Mint is 100% guaranteed by the taxpayer of Western Australia. 100% guaranteed. That was one of the reasons. It's better than a blue chip way of investing and transferring money, because it's guaranteed by you, the taxpayer of Western Australia. If they lost the gold, you'd have to pay for it to be replaced. So, you know, this is blue chip. You know, the Premier can't bite on this one. He needs to come clean. Let us know the extent of the liabilities that we're likely facing. It would seem, as I said, I was speaking to a knowledgeable person in this area, they believe that the Mint could be facing $1 billion-plus fines because of their lack of proper management in all of this. The Premier needs to come out. He needs to own up. He needs to take responsibility. You know, he's too good at just hiding on everything. He's the good news Premier. Always there for the good news story. As soon as anything goes wrong, he's in hiding, or he just won't take responsibility. You know, another area, interesting to see the Premier. You know, we've got a Premier, he was strong on COVID, he's weak on Albanese. And it's just so clear when you see it. We've seen Albanese come out, the Albanese Federal Labor government coming out and attack people's superannuation. Now, they've used the same old trick that this state government has used, and that is using class envy, saying, oh, this only affects rich people. It's only people with, you know, $70 million in their account. I mean, make no mistake, this is the thin edge of the wedge. When that superannuation, schemes were introduced, you know, we were told this is your money, this is for you to put away. Now, some people, and, you know, there are some wealthy people who take advantage of that. There are some people who just work their guts out. They scrip inside, and they manage to put a lot of money away because they want a comfortable retirement. They would leave something for their kids. And those schemes were there, and we have the federal government coming in. It's the thin edge of the wedge. We know that the thresholds will come down to them because Labor thinks that the superannuation is their money. We've seen this again and again and again, where the number of Labor ministers over time have made comments about this issue of people having superannuation and how the government should be making more money, or that money should be spent a certain way. No, it's our money and they should leave it alone. Ed, where's the Premier on this? No comment at all. And of course, this is what we've seen constantly. The IR laws that the Federal Labor government introduced, that will have a material, massive negative impact on the state of Western Australia. Premier Minow, utterly silent. Live sheep exports, you know, almost mute on that. He's made a couple of comments saying, oh, well, we've made our position clear before and whatever. Why isn't he hammering the doors down in Canberra? Because, make no mistake, the ban on live sheep exports largely affects Western Australia. On the East Coast, they basically eat most of their animals there. But because we've got a large population of farm animals and a relatively small population, we're the big exporter. Now, I was talking to a farmer over the weekend about this as well. A bit of a comment has been made, oh, well, live sheep exports were sort of coming down anyway. The principal reason live sheep exports have reduced over the last couple of years was because of the issues they'd had over East, and they'd had massive destocking, and they were restocking. And so instead of sheep, in particular being shipped, they were being transported to the eastern states to restock over East. Make no mistake, the ban on live sheep exports is a direct attack on Western Australia. We're the only state that does that, and that's critical. And again, you know, we hear all of this sort of virtue signaling around this is going to protect, you know, livestock and so on. No one in the world does more to protect the welfare of animals with live sheep export than Australia. I won't go through all the detail, but you can find that out. But if you look at the if you look at what's going to happen when it's banned from Australia, they will simply come from other countries who don't have our excellent animal husbandry practices. So it's not going to do anything to manage the welfare of sheep. It's simply going to harm Western Australian farmers. The export market puts a base price on sheep, so we will see a big impact on farmers if this federal Labor government ban goes ahead. And Premier McGowan needs to do much, much more to stop that. GST, you know, I'm almost sick of talking about this. We had the Premier coming out, you know, when he's in strife, he tries the old distraction technique, you know, don't look at this hand, look at this hand. He comes up with this argument of he's defending Western Australia against attack on our GST from the Premier of New South Wales. Well, I can tell you what, do you know how much say the Premier of New South Wales has on our GST distribution? Zero. Zero. There is only one person who can affect our GST distribution, and that is Prime Minister Albanese. It's federal Labor who will have the say, because at the moment they're in government over GST. Now, you know, listen very carefully to what Prime Minister Albanese says in relation to this. He's been utterly equivocal in the statements he's made. He has not made any unequivocal statements to say that he will continue to support the current GST arrangements. He's made statements around, oh, it'll be fairness and whatever. Now, we know with this Labor government, let's be frank, they've just come out and done things that they said that wouldn't do already. When he's so equivocal on our GST, it's very clear that Federal Labor and Western Australia's GST share as their own, and they want to suck it back over into the eastern states. Premier McGowan needs to get an unequivocal guarantee, not weasel words, an unequivocal guarantee from the Federal Labor government that they will not touch our GST. So don't carry on with these false sort of fights that he's sticking up for Western Australia, finding the Premier of New South Wales. He only has to do one thing, and that is to get the Prime Minister, Albanese, to make an unequivocal commitment, and that'll protect our GST. Look, I'll stop there. I guess a heavy topic, particularly at the start, but thanks very much for listening. And don't forget, you can subscribe to this as a podcast on your favourite app. Otherwise, you can watch it on Facebook, Spotify, YouTube, and TikTok by searching Not The Dope Hunter. Otherwise, I have been taking questions.
All right, we have a few questions today. The first is from Graham, and he's asking a question. He says, what will you do about the family gravestones being bulldozed in Karratha Cemetery?
Look, I am unaware of that, but I will now, thanks for making me aware of it, Graham, and then look, I'll chase it up. I know over time there have been issues with relocation of gravestones because of erosion from rivers and waterways and so on. I don't know if that's the case here. Look, I'll definitely follow that up. Graham, if you can see my office your details, so that's, and I'll give you the email address, cottesloe@mp.wa.gov.au. Just send me the details and I will absolutely follow that.
Anita is asking about the vaccine mandates, which were revoked in July, but says that there are still many doctors and nurses that need to be vaccinated three times to work, and she's asking for your opinion on that.
Look, what we've said in the past and what I've said in the past on this is that where you have very vulnerable people, and where people are working with very vulnerable people, then it's, you know, clear that the people need to be vaccinated. But there are many areas where it's completely unnecessary. And we said this during the pandemic. There were areas where the mandates were arbitrary. And in fact, it was pretty clear. It was just punishment of people who wouldn't get vaccinated. And that was inappropriate, to just punish people for no reason, no justified reason. So, look, you know, the devil would come down to the detail. There should only be compunction around vaccination where there is a genuine risk for people who have particular health issues, and they'd be very vulnerable.
All right. Ken is asking a very technical question. I'm not sure if you'll know the answer, but I'll ask anyway. If a gold bar is marked 99.9% pure, what percentage is being added to water it down?
Yeah, look, it was really, from what I could read, and I, you know, we'll see the detail, hopefully, but you know, I've already made this point about the lack of transparency of the Labor government. I mean, you know, just to go back to another topic, which I will revisit, not today, but here's the land going sale out at Midland. Boy, is that a murky pond. From what I could ascertain from what was printed in the media, you're talking about very minor percentages, you know, 0.005% or something. And that was the point, but from my point of view, why would you tarnish your reputation, no pun intended, but why would you tarnish your reputation, you know, for some very marginal, increase in profit, putting something other than gold in the bar? It just seemed really stupid. Now, obviously, the mint stopped it when the customer complained, but boy, I don't know why you'd do that in the first place.
All right. Bob is asking, where is the opposition Stata Minister for local government? Oops, someone asked another comment and it cut me off. Where is the opposition shadow minister for local government? There are so many things happening that need to be questioned and exposed.
Yeah, look, I think we've been sort of pushing those issues pretty well as an opposition, but, you know, I think there's a whole range of issues with local government. I will say, in particular, the latest changes that have come through and that the state government are proposing are really gutting the ability of councillors to do their jobs. But, look, again, I think I gave my email, you know, the office email out before, cottesloe@mp.wa.gov.au. If there's an area that you think we're missing in action on, or, you know, I can send the information to my colleagues. So please forward that to me and I'll chase it up. But I mean, you know, I have certainly been very vocal about this. And that is, I think what's happened, you know, to councils is neutering the ability of councillors to do their work. I might say, you know, if you look at the changes, it's as if councillors, rather than being in a robust council meeting where there can be robust and respectful differences of opinion, it's sort of going to be like a church service where everyone has to sit there and say nothing and only sing, you know, when the music starts playing. It's not, you know, I think this is neutering councils. But look what's happening to the planning laws. This state government clearly has absolute contempt for the right of communities and councils to have a say over the area. Increasingly, where some state government believes they're going to run everything, you know, out of St George's Terrace or out of Boomer House, you know, up in West Perth. So, but look, please, if there are a particular thing that's really concerning you, please let me know and I'll chase it up.
Okay. Manny Jones is asking, what can be done to remove the Premier on the back gold doping scandal, which is kind of in the same vein as a question you thought a couple of weeks ago. Why not pass a no confidence motion?
Yeah, look, it's pretty straightforward. And that is, and I think you've seen this in the behaviour of the Premier and his ministers, a couple in particular, just profoundly arrogant. And that is, they've got 53 out of 59 members in the lower house. They've got 24 out of 36 in the up house. Boy, they can pass constitutional amendments on their own numbers. So, look, we'll prosecute the argument. I'm afraid that the best chance we're going to have is in 2025 at the general election. But, you know, it's good to see, I think, all of the media are really starting to question this government now and say, hang on, yep, you know, we gave you points for COVID, but now it's well past that. Now it's about good government and you're failing.
All right. Jen is asking, can you please go for a drive along Armandale Road? Because there is an accident waiting to happen between Tampa Road and Lickelope Road.
Yeah, look, I was actually driving along there just the other day and out there. But look, I'm happy to have a particular look at that. I'm heading down south again, heading to the Waits and Warrama. So that'll be really interesting to catch up with farmers and people in the rural community. I bet they'll be interested in the live sheep export debate in particular. So I will make sure that I'll go through there. And again, look, please, you know, sometimes, you drive along and you don't see the things you should see. So please send me the details to my office, corisla@fv.wa.gov.au, and I'll absolutely follow that up with my colleagues.
All right. That's the end of the questions, David. Thank you very much.
Okay. Well, thanks very much, everyone. And I apologize. Last week, we had a bit of a disjoint between the voice and the vision. So for those that persisted with it, thanks. And hopefully this has worked out better this week. Thank you.